Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we have fun with Canada and the pretty little Prime Minister Justin Trudeau of Canada. If you missed the 6 o'clock hour of the show, fast forward, go on the podcast later today, or if you're traveling for the holidays, you know, download that episode of the podcast on your Montana Talks app, or you can use Spotify as well if that's where you listen to your podcast. Go about halfway through and you'll get that song about Justin Trudeau from the lead singer for Five for Fighting. But that's what we covered in the 6 o'clock hour. Let's now jump in. And then in the 7 o'clock or the 8 o'clock hour, I want to double down on this and yet another crazy, outrageous decision by the left wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court. I've got reactions pouring in. The legislature responds to the held climate case, Montana Supreme Court ruling. Senator Steve Daines slamming the held v. Montana ruling. We've actually got audio of both Montana Senate President-elect Matt Regeer and Speaker of the House-elect Brandon Lear as well. The incoming Speaker of the House both calling out the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court for this outrageous decision. So we'll get to the bulk of that in the 8 o'clock hour. In fact, we might even have Rob Nadelson with the Independence Institute join us to give reaction to this ruling as well. He's, of course, a former constitutional law professor at the University of Montana. But another big story we got to get to here this morning. President Trump weighs in. Elon Musk weighs in. Donald Trump didn't just weigh in against this continuing resolution, this last-minute budget bill in Washington, D.C. He is sitting on the chest of this CR. Stephen Miller is the incoming deputy chief of staff for President Donald J. Trump. And he went on, I think he was on with Hannity, talking about why this CR is so bad.
Here's what it comes down to. First and foremost, Donald Trump just won a historic landslide. He is entitled to come into office in January and work on his agenda the American people elected him to. He should not have to come into office and immediately be saddled with a government funding expiration followed by a debt ceiling expiration. That is what the current plan would do, is he would come into office and immediately have to work on negotiating a debt ceiling hike with Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, an extension of government funding. That is not consistent with putting Donald Trump in the best possible position to enact the transformative legislative agenda that he campaigned on. Historic tax cuts and reforms, an energy revolution, record-setting border security and border protection investments, and the entire agenda to bust inflation and make this economy grow. Furthermore, as you've mentioned, there are provisions that are in this year-end government funding bill that are on their face unacceptable. How are we even having a conversation about a provision that would shield members of the January 6th Unselect Committee from basic oversight, accountability, and investigation? How are we talking about funding global censorship at the State Department? And again, how are we talking about sticking President Trump with a debt ceiling expiration at the very beginning of his administration?
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partly to mostly sunny skies across the area today, high temperatures will range from the lower to middle 40s. For tonight, we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies, headed back in the mid-20s. Then on Friday, with partly sunny conditions, high temperatures boost up in the upper 40s and lower 50s. Still staying quiet Friday night with low temperatures around 30. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are now in charge of DOGE. That's the fictional Department of Government Efficiency. This is not the first ambitious effort to slice substantial federal spending. One of the most ballyhooed efforts to pare the federal government came in 1993. President Clinton and Vice President Gore promised they were reinventing government. The Clinton-Gore approach sliced more than 400,000 federal jobs and shrunk the size of 13 of the 14 federal departments. In late 2010, late Senator and Budget Committee Chairman Pete Domenici of New Mexico and late Clinton Budget Director Alice Rivlin assembled a budget plan known as Domenici-Rivlin, but little came of it. In 2011, the U.S. faced a debt ceiling crisis. Congress created a supercommittee comprised of bipartisan, bicameral lawmakers to concoct a plan to reduce spending. Well, the committee failed to forge an agreement. President Obama signed an executive order to establish the bipartisan National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform. The House then soundly defeated a budget modeled on recommendations from the panel in 2012. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Do you get food delivered to your house here in Montana through popular food delivery services like Uber Eats or DoorDash? Watch out. This, according to a former FBI Hispanic gang expert who lives in Bozeman, Montana. He says this is a tactic sometimes used by the violent Venezuelan prison gang known as Tren de Aragua. That full story, the audio as well of our conversation, go to MontanaTalks.com and get the app on your smartphone. The most
save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Buy two get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, Dick Durbin, the Democrat senator from Illinois. How long has that guy been in Washington? How long has that guy been harming the state of Illinois and the entire country? My goodness. All these old washouts in the United States Senate. That's why we're so excited to have some fresh blood from Montana in the United States Senate coming soon. I think the swearing-in is January 3rd for Montana Senator-elect Tim Sheehy. But Senator Dick Durbin, the Democrat senator from Illinois, Sean Hannity, was talking about just all of the pork that was shoved into this last-minute spending bill as they're trying to avert a government shutdown with a temporary spending bill. One more thing. Let me see. The last 10 seconds of that clip that I just played from Stephen Miller, President Trump's incoming deputy White House chief of staff, he made the point. What they need to do is position, set everything up and so that President Trump is in the best position to start getting this country back on track. So they set up President Trump for success. So it was kind of like yesterday, we had a phone call from Nancy in Roundup, and she made some great points about this last minute spending bill and some, you know, and it's like, yeah, nobody likes this thing. What's the best way to set up, you know, the incoming president, the incoming Republican-led Senate and House for success? Because we know right now, you mean Joe Biden is still in charge technically. The Democrats still run the Senate till January 3rd. The House is what it is, and it's going to, and they've got such a slim majority. But it's good to see President Trump weighing in to give some backup here to the questions that many of us have been raising. Because the House GOP has been so fractured these past couple years, and you can't get anybody on the same page. And then of course you leave leadership dependent on getting Democrat votes if they want to get anything across the finish line, because you can't hold the Republicans together with anything. And so with President Trump weighing in, that gives House Republicans the backing they need to try to hold it together. So what do we do to hold things together until Donald J. Trump
takes office. We'll talk about that and much more here. Newt Gingrich had some great comments, former Speaker of the House who knew how to get the job done. He weighs in. But first, yeah, what are some of the crazy things that are included in this last-minute spending package that the Democrats were forcing in there? That the Democrats said, no, if you want to get a farm bill, if you want this, if you want that, you better give us all this other stuff. The Democrats are the ones that are forcing this nonsense in there. Now, they agree or disagree with the Republicans who said, OK, we'll negotiate with you on this one for now to get a short term spending bill. But then things are going to change once Donald J. Trump is president. Listen to Hannity talk about Democrat Senator Dick Durbin.
The Democratic Senator Dick Durbin, he seems to be very happy. He thinks he deserves every penny. He wants his raise. Watch this exchange between Dick Durbin and fake news CNN reporter. Take a look.
Members are giving themselves a pay raise. Do you guys deserve a pay raise?
Well, that's news to me. It's good news. You know, what has it been, 10 years or 14 years of no COLA, no change at all? I think it's about time something's done.
You support giving yourselves a pay raise?
Is. How would I not know about a pay raise?
But people look at the performance of Congress and say, why should we give them more money?
What about the media? Think about that for a second.
And we're not paid by public money.
I know you're not, but I mean, half of your listeners are not there anymore. You're still getting the same paycheck? What's going on?
How about you balance the budget first, then we can talk about a pay raise. Wait a minute. How about you pass a budget first, because they don't even pass budgets anymore.
Yeah, great point. One plan has been, hey, this is a plan that's been advocated for by Montana Senator Steve Daines. If you don't pass a budget, you don't get paid. Forget a pay raise. You don't even get paid if you don't pass a budget. But the Daily Caller has a great rundown of some of the craziest things that were snuck into what they call a pork-packed Christmas spending spree. The House Freedom Caucus Tuesday night on X said this. The Cramnibus is 1,550 pages with $100+ billion in unpaid for spending negotiated behind closed doors. Here are some of the provisions drawing the biggest blowback from conservatives, many of which were identified on X by users like Small Gov Lizard. Members of Congress would be allowed their first pay raise since 2009. But I think the pay raise... Did I read somewhere that it is a lot? It is a massive pay raise that they're trying to give themselves. I mean, insane. They're trying to raise their pay by more money than the average Montanan makes throughout the entire year. Like that type of a raise they're trying to give themselves here. A provision allows lawmakers to opt out of Obamacare. They have language on transparency in concert ticket pricing. What do we care about the federal government dictating concert ticket pricing right now? Accountability for recycling and composting fraud. There's some stuff in here that other folks would see. Anyway, paying for juvenile delinquents to get their driver's license. Why do we have to pay for juvenile delinquents to get their driver's license? No longer calling homeless adults and children homeless. That's some of the woke stuff that they've got in here. The Global Engagement Center, the State Department's office dedicated to censorship, will get another year of funding. Why are we funding that? That should be illegal, let alone not be funded. Spending $3 million to test the inspection of molasses. That's just some of the stuff that's in here, but it's the woke stuff in particular that people are trying to strip out. Now, the Senate, they passed a defense spending bill that does go after some of this woke nonsense. Not all of it, but it goes after some of this woke nonsense. And they passed a provision that would block the military from funding child sex changes. So that's one update on that front. Speaker Gingrich and more after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There's an old cartoon that comes to mind as we hear proposals to address government efficiency for the incoming Trump administration. It shows Moses coming down from the mountain with a stone tablet, reading off the Ten Commandments. So far, so good, one man in the back says to another. He hasn't mentioned gays yet. This will likely be plenty of big ideas coming out of the new Department of Government Efficiency, and many of us will applaud them. But what will we say when the reforms hit a target we ourselves benefit from? Social Security, farm programs, Amtrak, even public radio. The right-leaning Cato Institute put out a list of recommendations for efficiency, and it's a bit longer than the Ten Commandments. I counted 211 specific actions in the document, and a few were small potatoes. The elimination of agencies, privatizing, giving public land to states. Many were excellent ideas, and you could say the fact that the list is so long underscores just how bad things have become. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are now in charge of DOGE. That's the fictional Department of Government Efficiency. This is not the first ambitious effort to slice substantial federal spending. One of the most ballyhooed efforts to pare the federal government came in 1993. President Clinton and Vice President Gore promised they were reinventing government. The Clinton-Gore approach sliced more than 400,000 federal jobs and shrunk the size of 13 of the 14 federal departments. In late 2010, late Senator and Budget Committee Chairman Pete Domenici of New Mexico and late Clinton Budget Director Alice Rivlin assembled a budget plan known as Domenici-Rivlin, but little came of it. In 2011, the U.S. faced a debt ceiling crisis. Congress created a supercommittee comprised of bipartisan bicameral lawmakers to concoct a plan to reduce spending. Well, the committee failed to forge an agreement. President Obama signed an executive order to establish the Bipartisan National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform. The House then soundly defeated a budget modeled on recommendations from the panel in 2012. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
The enhanced estate tax exemption could be a major casualty if the 2017 tax cut law expiring at the end of next year is not extended. The estate tax exemption will drop from $13.6 million per individual to its pre-2017 level of $5.5 million if the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act isn't extended. Kent Backus with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
If we do see the death tax limits revert back to those pre-2017 levels, then that's going to affect about 61% of our survey respondents. And that is not something that we take lightly.
Especially since many producers already believe they've been hit by the estate tax.
A third of our respondents have already had to pay the death tax once. And from that number, another 35% have had to pay it more than once.
Given, Backus says, many farm and ranch operations are asset rich and cash poor, land values also being a key reason.
As those values go up, whether it's pasture land or farmland, or just, you know, demand for development, real estate development for farmland is always a constant pressure. So it's not just that we've been setting record values on cattle prices and everything else. It's the land values that have gone up.
Backus says any increase in land value does not mean there's an increase in cash flow for farmers and ranchers. I'm Lane Nordblund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we do have the phone lines open for you as well. 406-294-0970. Getting some messages here on our Montana Talks app. Bill in Miles City, he says that they're trying to raise their pay $69,000. I thought I read that it was only $60,000. They want to give themselves a $60,000-plus raise. That Tim and Savage, would you agree? That's got to be today's, oh, for Pete's sake, moment. That's what they're trying to sneak into this last-minute spending bill. Bruce and Ennis says what a lot of you are saying, no spending bill till January. Shut it down. Merry Christmas. Newt Gingrich had some great comments on that front. He basically said you have to be willing to fight the fight. Otherwise, you're never going to get anything out of the other side. And so, that's what a lot of people are saying is like, look, this current session of Congress, and when I say Congress, I don't just mean the House, I mean the Senate. Like Joe Biden, the White House is a mess. The Senate is a mess. That's why we the people voted a new senator in. Not just one here in Montana, but we the people in other parts of America voted in a whole new Senate with a Republican Senate majority. And so that's why a lot of people are just saying, you know what? Even though this CR would only go through March, it would be a temporary bill. You know, the biggest problem, it sounds like, that Team Trump has is that
it's not setting Trump up for success. They're basically going to try to force him to have to hike the debt ceiling first thing, you know, after getting into office. And so it's like, they're kicking the can down the road just to like let it, you know, just to put it on Trump's plate when you know, the can's been kicked down the road for how many years now. And so a lot of people are saying, look, yesterday, for example, we had Montana Senator Steve Daines on the show with us. And I asked, I said, hey, what do you think is going to happen? Is the Crow Revenue Act going to get across the finish line? Are we going to get more funding for the Milk River project, you know, the St. Mary's and the irrigation that covers the whole High Line of Montana? And he said, unfortunately, it's probably not going to happen because, you know, anything that deals with coal, the Democrats are going to say no to. And so, yeah, liberal Senator John Tester is still a senator until January 3rd. And the Democrats, there's basic bare essentials. That's why what Speaker Gingrich is talking about is they should just strip this thing down, have a clean CR, a clean continuing resolution to just fund the bare essentials, the basic essentials of government. First off, that's all they should be funding anyway. Just do that until Trump gets into office and the Republicans take over the Senate. The Republicans take over the Senate January 3rd, and then 17 days later, Trump is officially sworn in as president. So strip it down, make it a clean CR until then. Now, the challenge is you've got some Republicans that may not even vote for a clean CR. So if you've got some Republicans that won't even do that, that won't even vote for a clean CR, and then you got Democrats that won't vote for that either, what do you do now? But that's why a lot of people are also just saying, hey, like, look, what has happened? The government has been technically so-called shut down dozens of times in our nation's history. It happened during Clinton's tenure. It happened during Reagan's tenure. It's happened over and over again. And what ends up happening? Well, any government employee or our troops that may not get paid or think they're getting paid for that 2 week, 3 week, whatever timeline, they end up getting paid. And a lot of them end up basically getting a paid vacation. And so Gingrich breaks it down. I've got a clip from him. But first, before we talk about solutions, let's continue to identify the problem here. Vivek Ramaswamy, along with Elon Musk, they talked about what some of the big problems are. President Trump now officially weighing in against this last-minute spending bill. But here's what Vivek Ramaswamy had to say via X.
Congress is about to pass a bill that blows away your taxpayer money, but they made it over 1,500 pages long so you wouldn't read it. I did you a favor. I read it for you.
It's supposed to be about keeping government operations open and providing disaster relief aid to hurricane victims, which I'm sympathetic to. But if you read the bill carefully, it contains pay raises for members of Congress, and I'm not making this up, an expansion of their federal health benefits. It contains all kinds of special interests and pork funding, including opening up a new stadium in Washington, D.C. It renews the Global Engagement Center, which is a key node of the censorship industrial complex. And the worst part is, they didn't want you to know about any of it, and that's why they made this a last-minute jam job. The reason I'm co-heading DOGE is I think we need outsiders to bring actual accountability to Washington, D.C. So feel free to call your congressman and let him know how you feel about it.
All right, there you go. That's Vivek Ramaswamy. Great summary there in about 60 seconds. Actually, 51 seconds. He snuck that all in. Stand by for 60 seconds. We'll go into your phone calls. We've got Linda in Billings first up right after this. And phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. And then I've got the audio from former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, the guy who actually balanced the budget as Speaker of the House, who knows how to get the job done. Go. We've got Linda in Billings. Linda, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts?
Well, personally, I think they need to shut the government down. But there's stuff in that bill that lasts till 2029 that they've got into that spending bill. I read some of it, and then we're going to have mass mandates. Inoculation mandates, vaccine mandates, and all of this that is in this bill. And I do not like this. We voted for Trump for a reason. We need a mandate. These people better. And Mike Johnson won't have a job in January. He will be voted out because he is nothing but a traitor as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think he's working with the cards that he's been dealt, unfortunately, right now. But I think really at the end of the day, with Trump weighing in, I mean, I think that's giving, you know, House Republicans the backing that they need. Him weighing in, Vivek and Elon weighing in, because before it's like you'd get a handful of Republicans to vote this way, a handful of Republicans to vote that way. And so, you know, Speaker Johnson's just dealing with the cards he's got dealt. He's trying to get something short term done and then to just to get us through to when we get Donald Trump in there to fix things. But that's where Trump is weighing in now and saying, wait a minute, there's some landmines in here that we need to avoid. And there's a number of challenges. I mean, you got some on the right who have just this ideological knee-jerk opposition to continuing resolutions altogether. I get it, but you've got to get something done. Well, I mean, actually, in reality, you don't have to do something. I mean, the reality is help is on the way. Help is right around the corner. It's what, December 19th? And the Republicans take back the Senate January 3rd. So
Mike Johnson will be out of a job. And we've got to stop this. 2029, there's stuff in there for the Democrats, and they don't need a raise, as far as I'm concerned. They don't work long enough.
They already make a lot of money. But, yeah, in terms of Mike Johnson, so who do you think will be in there if not Mike Johnson? I mean, we've played that game before.
Oh, well, they better, I'm sure, with the new people coming in, they're going to pick somebody that's not going to side with these Democrats. I am tired of this stuff.
Well,
you know, it's just unreal.
Yeah, people are tired of it, and that's why we can't wait for it. The biggest problem still continues to be the Democrats controlling the Senate, and that is going to change. Help is on the way January 3rd, and then Donald Trump is already acting like the actual president. Joe Biden is practically nowhere to be seen right now, but former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, I think he has a great plan here in terms of, hey, yeah, stop the spending, stop the massive spending in this latest, you know, pork-laden deal. But here's something you could do as an alternative. When it comes to the future of Mike Johnson potentially being Speaker, look, the problem is there's going to be a slim majority in the House in the next session, just like there's been in these last couple of years. We need leadership across the board. Everybody can sit back and bash the leadership all day long, but there's other folks who are part of the problem here because they will never sign on to anything. And so
this is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, I had to go into my own personal archives on this one. So before we launched Montana Talks, I did another radio show, and I used to do some commentary and news aggregation for another website back in the day. I used to do a thing called the Flint Report, and which it was a lot of aggregation, but anyway. You don't care about that inside baseball stuff. That's why I went to fill up a cup of coffee. I need a little bit more coffee here on this Thursday morning. By the way, Thursday, it's the 7 o'clock hour. I just realized some of you are probably wondering, hey, where's David Noble? Every Thursday, we love it when David Noble is on the show. Well, hey, here's the deal. David's taking today off because you are going to get a great opportunity next week. David Noble is going to be filling in on Montana Talks. So there's going to be some great content. I know some of you think, oh, it's going to be the holidays. It's going to be a lot of this re-aired stuff, a lot of stuff that's already in the can. No. Next week, there's going to be a ton of incredible content for you. We'll have a best of holiday show on Christmas itself, which will have some great content. Because none of you are truly really able to listen to all 4 hours of the show every day. Actually, there are some of you that I know do, because if you miss it, you go back and listen on the podcast. But most people, they get as much as they can, but they still can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. So we'll have one holiday show on Christmas, a best of show on New Year's Eve. But other than that, we're going to have live content for you. David Noble's going to be filling in several days. So he's taking today off because he's going to have a lot ready to roll for you next week. And then our friend Scott Aspenlighter. Scott Aspenlighter serves on the Billings City Council, but even before he was on the Billings City Council, he would guest host Montana Talks. He would sidekick with Jake Eaton. and do the show. He's going to fill in for a couple of days right after Christmas as well. So, Tony, there's going to be a great lineup for you next week, and I'm going to get a few days off, so that'll be nice. I still had vacation days left. It's funny, now that I'm officially retired from the military, it's like I can use all my vacation days as actual vacation. It's crazy. So it's like, oh, wow, hey, this is what a vacation looks like. This is nice. I like this. Growing my hair out a little bit, enjoying a few more vacation days. But anyway, why did I have to go into my archives? Well, I got a couple of messages here on the Montana Talks app. And where did I put them? There we go. All right, Bruce and Ennis sent us this message. I think Steve Daines is right. No pay until a balanced budget is passed. 10% reduction in pay until the debt is paid off. That's from Bruce in Ennis. Kat in Sydney. She watched the Newt Gingrich interview. And Kat says this, I watched the Newt Gingrich interview, and I was surprised to find out he not only balanced the budget, but they actually shut down the government a few times when he was Speaker of the House. Do you remember the government shutting down? Me neither. Maybe shutting down the government isn't as big of a deal as the Democrats say it is. Just saying. No, Kat, you are spot on here. In fact, look, if the government shuts down, we had these debates back when Obama was president, when there were shutdowns then. And you remember what Obama would do? He would make the government would be bigger during a government shutdown than it would be when the government was supposedly up and running. I remember I got the great honor to tag along with our World War II veterans for the Big Sky Honor Flight. Well, one of the Big Sky Honor Flights, when they took a plane load of our World War II veterans from here in Montana back to see their memorial in Washington, D.C., I can't remember if it was an honor flight before I went or an honor flight after I went, they tried to go visit their World War II memorial, and it was during a so-called government shutdown. You know what Obama did during the supposed government shutdown? He ordered government employees to put up barricades in front of the World War II memorial. It's like, I thought government shut down. Why is government shutting down our memorial? Why are they actively blocking our memorial? If government shut down, you shouldn't have anybody on the payroll out there putting up barricades to keep our wheelchair-bound World War II veterans from visiting their memorial. But that's what Democrats do. They shut down the government. And that's what, if government shuts down, it's because Joe Biden and Senate Democrats refuse to pass a clean spending bill. Now, on that front, let's go to what Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich had to say on Hannity last night, and then we'll get to more phone calls here as well.
Former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich.
Oh, he's on his waters. Speaker, my apologies.
You balanced the budget.
Oh, yeah, my apology here. He was on with Jesse Waters, so let me re-rack that for you.
So, now, Speaker, you balanced the budget. Why can't you get on the phone and call Speaker Johnson and just tell him what to do? Because this is crazy, and it has to stop.
Well, look, I think, first of all, the whole idea of the DOGE committee has already paid for itself by having Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy come out and say, begin to point out all the dumb things in this bill. The obvious answer is kill this bill, pass a very short continuing resolution to get the new Republican Senate installed, and negotiate a new bill before January 20th that covers the rest of the year and gets the job done. But it also, I would just say, two things that will be sort of, I think, radical for Washington. One, when you negotiate with Democrats, they're going to put stupid things in the bill. So there's a big disadvantage every time you let them help write the bill, because everybody on your side is going to think the bill's stupid. Second, we closed the government several times while I was Speaker. We would not have gotten to a balanced budget if we had not had the guts to go to the mat and say, no, we're not going to do dumb things, which was a great shock to Bill Clinton and a great shock to the Democrats. But the country thought, you know, it's good not to do dumb things. So I would hope that Republicans in the House and Senate will take seriously the warnings of President Trump and of Vivek Ramaswamy and of Elon Musk. Look at the bill. Realize this bill is stupid.
Now, he did later on in that segment also kind of come to Speaker Johnson's defense here and kind of make the point that I was trying to share before that last hard break about how, look, he's dealing with the cards that he's been dealt here. And the whole game is going to change here in just a quick few weeks. But real quickly here, I talked about going into my archives. So Kat in Sydney talked about, wait a minute, the government's been shut down before? Huh. These guys act like this has never happened before. Yeah, back in September of 2013, I wrote a story about Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews and government shutdowns. Chris Matthews was trying to say, oh, these Republicans, they're going to shut down the government. And Chris Matthews tried to virtue signal and say, well, back when Ronald Reagan was president, you know, he and Tip O'Neill, they'd work together and they'd get things done and they would avert shutdowns. And I wrote at the time, I said, am I missing something? But a Washington Post story from several years ago showed the history of government shutdowns. There were 7 total government shutdowns under Reagan and Tip O'Neill. Despite Chris Matthews' book at the time saying how they averted shutdowns. I mean, there's been over a dozen of these things over the years, and you have to be willing to play hockey. You have to be willing to play a little bit of hardball here in order to fight to stop a lot of this nonsense. And unfortunately, Speaker Johnson and House Republicans have never had the numbers to be able to stand up and fight. But thankfully now with Donald Trump and Elon and Vivek and the rest of you weighing in, they've got some backup. And more reinforcements are en route come January 3rd in the Senate. Tim and Billings on the phone lines. Tim, what's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. I feel like Ron Swanson from that show. I've got my sign that says, slash it, shut it down. what do we have? I think I've seen an estimate that only about 5% of government employees go into their office every day like they're being asked to do. They're being asked to do it, and they're refusing to do it. Go ahead and sit at home, and I hope you don't get paid. I hope you don't get that bad pay. Because guess what happens if I don't go to work and I'm not have approved over or vacation and stuff like that? I don't get paid. That's how America works. I'm so sick and tired of these politicians and their entitled BS. They think that they are so much better than the people that pay their wages and the people that they're supposed to be serving. I wish that the Congress would figure out. You know, that's one thing about, like, Rand Paul and Matt Rosendale. They would get criticized for voting no on a lot of stuff, even though a lot of people liked it. But their constituents didn't like it, and they sent them there to vote against that stupid stuff that Mr. Gingrich was talking about. They held to what they thought the Constitution said they should be funding.
Yeah, but Rand Paul would eventually vote for something, right? Rand Paul knew that eventually you have to sign off on something. And that's where some of the Freedom Caucus members, the Freedom Caucus has been in disarray these past couple years, is because some of their members will never vote for anything. And with a one vote, few vote majority, you need every Republican to support something or you get nothing. Anyway, hold that thought, Tim. We'll come back to you after the break.
Type S High Performance Variant, nearly 500 horsepower and 278-mile EPA range rating. Choose from our complimentary charging packages so you can charge how you want. The all-electric Acura ZDX. This is the energy of innovation. Acura, precision crafted performance. Count down to the new year in the all-electric Acura ZDX with $0 first month's payment and $1 due at signing.
Fox News commentary.
Most Americans have to actually show up to work, so why should federal workers get a pass? I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Newsflash, the pandemic has been over for years, and there's no reason federal workers should get the luxury of working from home. In his presser this week, President-elect Donald Trump made it clear federal workers ought not to get too cozy working at home in their PJs. Trump vowed to fight the egregious and ridiculous Biden-era agreement that would extend the work remote perk another 5 years. Trump called the waiver a gift to the unions, and he's right. Not only will Trump fight that extension deal in court, he vowed to fire federal employees who refuse to come back to the office. As it stands, only around half of the nation's 2.3 million federal employees work fully in person, according to the Office of Management and Budget. And that's ludicrous. There is no excuse for these federal workers to stay home. COVID was a flimsy excuse to begin with. The American taxpayer should not be footing the bill for empty office buildings and workers at home in sweatpants. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partly to mostly sunny skies across the area today, high temperatures will range from the lower to middle 40s. For tonight, we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies, headed back in the mid-20s. Then on Friday, with partly sunny conditions, high temperatures boost up in the upper 40s and lower 50s. Still staying quiet Friday night with low temperatures around 30. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Do you get food delivered to your house here in Montana through popular food delivery services like Uber Eats or DoorDash? Watch out. This, according to a former FBI Hispanic gang expert who lives in Bozeman, Montana. He says this is a tactic sometimes used by the violent Venezuelan prison gang known as Tren de Aragua. That full story, the audio as well of our conversation.
Offer valid for a limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we've had several so-called government shutdowns at several points, several moments in our nation's history, and the world didn't end. Now, I'm not saying that ideally you want to have a so-called government shutdown, but if a government gets shut down, it's because of Joe Biden and Senate Democrats. You know, John Tester doesn't want to honor his commitment to the Crow tribe and get the Crow Revenue Act across the finish line here during the lame duck session. The Democrats don't want to give us a farm bill. They don't want to just give us a clean funding bill that, you know, takes care of disaster relief, that takes care of our laid off Stillwater miners, that funds Milk River irrigation on the High Line of Montana. They don't want to just get important stuff like the Crow Revenue Act across the finish line. No, instead they want to fund all sorts of crazy nonsense, give themselves a raise, give Liz Cheney immunity from, you know, the accountability she should be facing, all sorts of, you know, funding the global censor police. And so, but the point being is that now I think Republicans are going to finally come January, they're going to be positioned and they're going to have Donald Trump there to hold them accountable as well, to stand and fight. Anyway, back to Tim and Billings. Sorry we were short on time, had to run to that hard break there, but Tim, I'm glad that you missed the opening of the show at 6:06 this morning, because I got a song I'm going to play for you coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Can you join us in the 8 o'clock, or will you be listening in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, Tim?
I will. I'll be doing my best to listen in.
Okay.
Unless fires to put out, I should be listening in.
Well, let's hope there's no fires to put out. Okay, good, because I want to share this song for our friends in the Flathead that'll be tuning in on KJJR starting in the 8 o'clock hour as well. So there's a new song about Justin Trudeau that was put together by the lead singer of a popular band called Five for Fighting, and it's freaking hysterical. It's about how Canada needs a leader who's actually played hockey, not this high heel soy boy Justin Trudeau.
Absolutely. How about a little testosterone? How about a little intestinal fortitude? How about a person that's, had a little bit of strife and adversity in his life other than where to get his next soy latte and whether or not he should go to Cuba to to vacation or North Korea. You know?
Oh, there's a Fidel Castro reference. There's a Fidel Castro reference in this song, too. There's all sorts of great nuggets in this one. But real quickly, we've only got about a couple of minutes to go here. You were telling me, apparently, that somebody actually did a survey of Canadians to see what they thought about becoming the 51st state of the United States of America, because usually Canadians bristle at the thought of playing second fiddle to the U.S. of A. But apparently our friends in Alberta and Saskatchewan kind of like the idea.
Yeah, there was I don't know what their methodology was or who did it, but Saskatchewan was 19% of Canadians in favor, and Alberta and Manitoba were like at 17%, and then the next closest was British Columbia. So, you know, the Western Canadians, very much like Western Americans, they want to utilize their natural resources. They don't want to be told not to eat red meat. They don't want to be told that they can't irrigate their farmland. They don't want to be told that they can't go log timber. They want to be left alone by their government, just like most of the people in the Western United States, save for the coastal elite, you know. So
it's still not a popular concept in Alberta and Saskatchewan, but it's more popular in the West than it is on the left coast or the east coast of Canada. Yeah, that's why the biggest reason why I would be opposed to making Canada the 51st state is because they elected Justin Trudeau at the national level. So, like, right. But the problem is our friends in Alberta and Saskatchewan, yeah, they're a lot like us here in the Rocky Mountain West. And good folks, right? But they've got to deal with far-left dictators like Justin Trudeau, and they've got to deal with their left coast and their east coast, which right now has too much of the power. All right, well, Tim, hopefully you don't have any fires to put out, because you're going to want to hear this song. I know you're a big hockey fan. And not so much a fan of Justin Trudeau, you're going to love this song. You wait for it here in just a few minutes. Montana Talks, we'll have it.
An economic minute.
There's an old cartoon that comes to mind as we hear proposals to address government efficiency for the incoming Trump administration. It shows Moses coming down from the mountain with a stone tablet, reading off the Ten Commandments. So far, so good, one man in the back says to another. He hasn't mentioned gays yet. This will likely be plenty of big ideas coming out of the new Department of Government Efficiency, and many of us will applaud them. But what will we say when the reforms hit a target we ourselves benefit from? Social Security, farm programs, Amtrak, even public radio. The right-leaning Cato Institute put out a list of recommendations for efficiency, and it's a bit longer than the Ten Commandments. I counted 211 specific actions in the document, and a few were small potatoes. The elimination of agencies, privatizing, giving public land to states. Many were excellent ideas, and you could say the fact that the list is so long underscores just how bad things have become. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.